We'll go ahead and get started this morning. Betty, will you pray for us?
Yes. Thank you, Father. We just want to love on you today, and we are thankful for everything that you have done and the love that you have shown for each and every one of us. We ask you to send us the Holy Spirit this morning. Be with Jesse as he teaches what it is that you have for us to hear today. And I just ask that everybody's ears and eyes are opened up to what it is you want us to know. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
And Julie's nose is open.
Yeah, all right.
I think it might be.
Uh-oh. Did I stand wrong?
Freeze frame.
Yeah.
Do your little like dance.
Yeah. Oh, we'll get it dialed in. All right, hey, before we get started, what an awesome time this last week. I don't think it could have went any better. I mean, everyone showed up, everyone had a good attitude. I mean, everything just went boom, 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 like we had been praying about it for a month, you know. And it was just awesome to see everybody come together. And our Wednesday night service was awesome, couldn't have went better, you know. I know that we had a total of 8 or 9 hands go up, and some of them were the kiddos over here. But I mean, it was neat to see. I'll let Rachel talk more about it, because I don't want to steal her thunder. But it was neat to see her husband raise her hand as a profession of faith. And he's never done that. So when Rachel comes this morning, you know, we'll just let her tell a story, because I don't want to ruin it. You know, it's just, and just the things that happened afterwards also, a lot of great things, just super, super awesome. All right, we'll grab our Bibles. Let's go to the book of Acts real quick. We're going to look at the Galatia area. It's the southern region, and we'll look at the Thessalonians. Before I finish up, the last couple points on the first doctrines that, the themes of doctrines that Paul taught, I want to kind of get us an idea of the background of what they're going through. Okay, what they're going through. So when we look at Acts and we look in Paul's first missionary journey here, let's look at chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. So Pisidia, Iconium, Lystra, they're all kind of like these southern regions of the Galatia area. We'll also see areas like, look down here further. It'll come up. Iconium, they're all kind of like a southern region of Galatia there. Let's see what they were going through. So as Paul and Barnabas are traveling, in Acts chapter 13, let's just go to verse 48, Acts 13, 48. When the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and all who were ordained to eternal life believed. The word of the Lord spread throughout the entire region, but the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city and raised up persecution against Paul and Barnabas and drove them from their region. So they shook off the dust of their feet against them and went to Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. So we see that after Paul and Barnabas go to a synagogue, they preach that the Messiah has come and to receive the Messiah by faith. Things are going well on one end, especially with the Gentiles. Many Jews did accept Christ, but really the transformation was happening with the Gentiles. And so when the traditional Jews that rejected Christ, that did not receive what Paul and Barnabas were saying about the death and the burial and resurrection of Jesus, and instead of just saying, oh, well, like, no big deal, we'll stick to what we know, they are full of envy and jealousy and now are on the offensive causing problems. So now they're causing problems, and they're shooing out and pushing out Paul and Barnabas from the area, causing violence. Let's go down to chapter 14. So as they move to the next area, they're in that lower Galatia area, chapter 14, verse 1. At Iconium, they entered the synagogue of the Jews together and so spoke that a great crowd of both Jews and Greeks believed, just like the previous town above, the previous town before. But the unbelieving Jews, in verse 2, stirred up the Gentiles and embittered their minds against the brothers, so they continued there a long time, speaking boldly for the Lord, who bore witness to his gracious word, granting signs and wonders to be done by their hands. But the people of the city were divided. Some sided with the Jews, and others with the apostles. When an assault was planned by both Gentiles and Jews with their leaders to attack them and stone them, they learned of it and fled to Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia and the surrounding region. And there they preached the gospel. So on this one here, when persecution came, they kind of dug their heels in and stayed. But as they dug their heels in and stayed and fought against that area, it got more and more physical to where they were going to stone them. And so when that happened, when an assault was made, they said, hey, we got to get you guys out of here. So they left, and Paul and Barnabas move on down to Lystra. And they go down there, and we're seeing the persecution ramp up more and more and more. Okay? So as soon as they were, so the first area, let's back up. The first area there in Pisidia, they stirred up people, and they just kind of shook the dust off their feet and moved on. The next area, it got a little bit more intense where they were going to stone them. Let's look at what happens in the third area they go to. Okay, again, we're kind of in the southern region there of Galatia. Okay, let's look at verse 19. Then some Jews, chapter 14, verse 19 of Acts. Then some Jews from Antioch and Iconium came there and persuaded the crowds. They stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing he was dead. But as the disciples gathered around him, he rose up and went to the city. The next day he departed with Barnabas for Derbe. So as we see the persecution ramping up and ramping up, when we read the book of Galatians, and we see when Paul's saying, you know, how much trials and tribulations he went through, when we see verses that say, hey, because what I already said here in chapter 13, they performed signs and wonders there. So in the book to the Galatians, this lower area, when he's saying, hey, when we were there performing signs and wonders, was it done by the law or was it done through faith in Jesus? This is the area in Acts that where it's kind of moving, where it's happening, all right? So these chapters here, coupled with Galatia, kind of help us get a deeper and broader sense of what's happening. We can see now it kind of is more meaningful maybe when we read things when Paul says, hey, those of Galatia, you know, the born-again believers, how I am going through this trial like a mother is through birth pains. Like, how long am I going to do this? How long am I going to keep doing these things with you? Because we see what he went through with them here in these regions with persecution. Every town he went to in that southern area of Galatia there, it just got worse and worse and worse till eventually he did get stoned. All right?
Do you think they actually killed him? I mean, do you think the Bible would have said he was dead?
Yeah. Yeah, I would have. Huh. Yeah, I think he was just knocked out and just went totally limp. And so they thought that he was dead. So. So that's the area of that southern region of Galatia. All right, so a little bit of time goes on, and they go back out. Let's go to Acts chapter 17. All right, Acts chapter 17. Because again, we're looking at the book of Galatians, the book of Thessalonians. I kind of just want to give us some little bit more contextual, cultural background of what's happening there. All right, so chapter 17, verse number 1. Okay, when they had traveled through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. According to his custom, Paul went in And on three Sabbaths, he lectured to them from the scriptures, explaining and proving that the Christ had to suffer and rise from the dead, and saying, "This Jesus, whom I preach to you, is the Christ." Some of them were persuaded and joined with Paul and Silas, including a great crowd of devout Greeks and many leading women. Verse 5, "But the Jews who did not believe became jealous, and taking some evil men from the marketplace, gathered a crowd, stirred up the city, and attacked the house of Jason, trying to bring them out to the mob. But when they did not find them, they dragged Jason and some brothers to the city officials, crying out," this is a great statement, "These men who have turned the world upside down have come here also, and Jason has received them. They are all acting contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, Jesus." They troubled the crowd and the city officials when they heard these things, and when they had taken a bail payment from Jason and the rest, they released them. Now the brothers here, they send Paul and Silas away, and they go down to Berea. But I'm just showing you here also that, so at Thessalonica, there was also persecution. And so when Paul is writing to the Thessalonians saying, "Hey, you were with us when we endured such trials and tribulation," he tells them in 1 Thessalonians, "Hey, you were like the church at Jerusalem who suffered from their own countrymen. They came and attacked you also, just like they did with Peter and John there in Jerusalem when the church first started blossoming and going out." So we're seeing this offensive attack to their faith, right? Through violence, through division, through teaching different things. And so when Paul is teaching both of these groups, these practical doctrines, you know, it's important for us to look at their culture, what they're going through, and then ultimately, what's the focus? What's the clarity of mind? What's the vision that Paul has for them for going through what they're going through to get them to act and behave and walk and do the things that Paul wants them to do? All right? So he's very calculated. He's very thoughtful. Obviously, the Lord's giving him discernment on what Paul is to teach these two groups at this time and what they're going through, but we can also take principles out of it, right? And say, hey, when I'm being attacked, or when someone is trying to, you know, oppress my belief system or do things contrary to my beliefs, here's a baseline of where to start, right? Because a lot of times when we're gathering information on someone else's perspective and belief system and thought process, right? Sometimes our mind go to attack what they're saying. Instead, we can go, okay, so to answer your question, I gotta come over here first. Or to go against what you're saying, let's establish this, number one. Because people are gonna come at you with the information of their presuppositions, what they've already thought up. So you can't attack that because there's no foundation there. It's emotional, okay? It's emotional, there's no foundation. So here's a baseline on, hey, as a believer in Christ, I am sorry that you've experienced that, or I'm sorry that you were exposed to that, or I'm sorry your church did that, or I'm sorry you were taught that. Hey, that is sad to hear, I'm sorry. But here's what we do know. The first letters that Paul wrote, he's excited that they're both following Jesus. They're both focused on the Holy Spirit being in them. They're both focused on walking in love. They're both focused on love abounding. They're both focused on faith and love working together. They're both, you see that? So we're taking away their defense system, right? Now that's if they want to hear. Just like there are two groups in both these areas. The Jews that wanted to hear and learn, they accepted Christ and they followed Paul and Barnabas. Those that didn't, that rejected, got jealous and envious and wanted to cause problems. At Thessalonica, there's two groups, right? The the Jews and Gentiles following the law, but they have an ear to hear. They're listening to learn. They're hearing this truth for the first time. And they say, yes, absolutely, I believe that, just like people did Wednesday night. There's another group that says, I don't want that. It goes against what I was taught. I'm afraid of that. And it's amazing what people do out of fear, right? A lot of times out of fear, they come with violence. That's not clear to me. I don't understand. So when something's not clear, or something they don't understand something, they come back with violence. Or they come back with a critical spirit. Or they come back with cutting down. Okay, they come back with cutting you down emotionally. Or they try and bring down your character. Or they try and say, well, you Christians are all the same. A blanket statement of something negative when they don't understand. So we're not attacking their loose interpretations. Paul is not going to attack the Galatians or Thessalonians on the loose ends. He says, hey, in order for us to go forward, here are some handful of things that we have to get a grasp of. Okay? Now, when we say basics and fundamentals, that's subjective. Everything has a basic and fundamental. Everything. Basic and fundamental of what? Our basics and fundamentals that we teach here and that we want people to understand is, number one, their identity in Christ. Who they are in Christ. A lot of basics that we see are, who is God the Father? Who is Jesus Christ? Who is the Holy Spirit? What is the Bible? Right? What do I need to do? A lot of basics teach that. Nothing bad. That's all good. They have Bible verses for all of that. But we kind of tend to come over here and say, hey, let's understand, who am I in Jesus? What language do I see in Scripture on how Christ views me? What significance do I have in him? What values does he place on me? So it's more positional and not conditional, doing for or separate. It's close. So when we see, I'm trying to give you a different perspective here, so try and follow along, okay? When we see the Galatians and Thessalonians, and there's all this noise, all this persecution, all these trials, all the things that Paul can address, and he only writes down 4 or 5 chapters, what does he focus on? This is who you are, and this is how you serve each other. This is what other believers are to you, because it's who they are in Christ. Right? So we always focus on who I am, my position, how I walk, how I behave, how I act. And then it's number one, before even the world or lost people, it's my family in Christ. How am I treating them? How am I serving them? How am I encouraging them? How am I uplifting them? Okay, it's not the world first. It's not seeing lost people saved first. That sounds blasphemous, but it's not. It's me, my walk, and then me helping you with your walk. While we're doing those simultaneously, we look at reaching the outside. But sometimes we can get flip-flopped. And I've been here. I did this for 2 years. It's embarrassing to talk about because I was so immature. I was so focused on reaching the lost, and we were seeing people saved every month, but as soon as they would come to church, as fast as they were coming, they were going. And I was not taught that from school. My school taught, my mentor said, discipleship, discipleship, discipleship. I had a discipleship class in school for a year. And yet I got caught up in just the way of doing church. We're seeing people saved. We're seeing people saved. They're coming in and sitting down, and then they're gone. I think, Dennis, do you think you like to use the words that we orphaned them? Yeah, we didn't disciple them. After 2 years, I said, whoa, hold on a second. We're going to change this philosophy right now. We're going to do both simultaneously, but if we have to choose one, let's just get our people straightened out first who they are in Christ.
Hey, Jesse.
Yes.
I have a couple of questions.
Fire.
It seems like, I think that we get that because Jesus talks so much about, you know, what am I thinking? What's that parable, the Good Samaritan parable? And when you concentrate on the Gospels, you get more an idea of you're supposed to be out helping the lowly and the poor in the world, as opposed to we don't think of it in terms of serving church family first.
Right. And the perspective of that was, you know, the Jewish nation, nation of Israel, was their brother, right? They were family because of their blood relationship at being under the nation of Israel. So we would have that now moving forward with our brother in Christ. But many times we don't see that in the context, right? The context isn't just some stranger. The context is, no, they're from Abraham. Like, they're one of us. They're from our tribe. You know, the lost sheep, the 99, that's not unsaved people. That's not Gentiles. The Christ leaving the, telling people to leave the 99 to save the one, that's a Jew. That's leaving the 99 Jews and going and getting another Jew. That's not saying, I'm going to leave the Gentiles to go get one unsaved person or unsaved Gentile. No. He's saying, listen, we're all here. We need to get another family member. We need to get another Jew. It has nothing to do with Gentiles or the gospel of death, burial, and resurrection being preached. We have heard sermons on that that lead us to believe that, but that's not true in the context. Christ is ushering in the millennial a kingdom that he's going to rule and reign. We need our people here, the nation of Israel. Does that make sense what I'm saying? Or am I confusing you guys more? No? Good.
And then one other question.
Yeah.
So you've talked before about how the Jews that were actually looking for Jesus, they did believe the gospel. But I don't understand here in Acts when those Jews riled up the devout, honorable women. It seems like if they were devout and honorable, they should have listened to the gospel instead of getting riled up.
So let's just say that they are saved, right? let's just pretend. We'll do both. Okay, we'll do both. Let's just say they are saved. How long have they been saved?
Oh, no.
Not long. Yeah. Right? So let's just say they are saved, but they're babes in Christ. Okay? Their mindset can still be on, these people influence me. I trust them. Right? I trust these leaders because I know them. I'm comfortable with them. You know? So now that I've maybe believed a new belief system, my soul, my mind, and emotions are still back on what I grew up with. Okay? Now, that's just a save. Let's just say they're not saved. Well, if they're not saved, they're going to follow their emotions no matter what, right? That's new. I don't like that. Yes, I'm with you. You're confirming what I'm thinking inside. So when a religious leader confirms what I think, that gives me more motivation to act on what I want to do. Does that make sense?
Yeah. It's just sad.
Very sad.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the New Testament, it's exciting and sad, because New Testament's written to, that's not who you are, don't do that, right? Yeah. Good questions. Any more questions before we move on? No? All right, so let's look here. So we went over, we'll go back to Galatians and Thessalonians, but I just wanted to do that real quick to kind of give us a little bit deeper understanding of when Paul's talking to these two groups, just what it was like when he was there, right? What it was like when he was there. So we have talked about how we talked about Paul's personal feelings towards them. He cares for them. We looked at the suffering that he has received from both sides. We saw the first doctrine that he focused on for both, at least the first one I brought out, was the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, right? So both groups, the Galatians and Thessalonians, he really hits home the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of you and sealing you, and it's Christ in you, okay? That's how you can become followers of Paul and Barnabas, or Paul and Silas, because we both share the same Spirit. We also looked at both groups receive Christ by faith. Okay? Both groups receive Jesus by faith. One group received Christ and turned from the law. The other one wasn't so much stuck on the law as it was turning from idols. Right? So, both received Christ by faith, turned and served the Lord. We also looked at Another thing that they share, and that Paul hits on with both of them, is faith and love. So as I'm learning, I'm saying yes to it, and when I start acting on what I say yes to, I gain experience. Knowledge is not power. Knowledge is not power. Knowledge applied is potential power. Knowledge applied is potential power. But just knowledge alone does nothing. If anything, it puffs up and it makes you critical. Okay? So knowledge alone is not power.
You can choose to how to use it in a couple different ways. One would be in love. The other one, and we all know people like this, they use it to bash. You know, that I've got this knowledge and you don't. And, you know, so we're always supposed to be balanced between truth and love.
And yeah, absolutely.
Just a point.
Yep, that's absolutely it. I loved your first statement. Choose to actually do something with it, right? Because we can choose to not do anything with the knowledge that we know. And that's where, unfortunately, a lot of believers are today. They're not doing anything with what they know. They're not living out what they know. They're not talking about what they know. They don't share what they know. It's all just for them. Right? It's all just for them. So yeah, we talked about how faith and love, so as I'm acting out what I'm learning and living that out, I see it's true. It's building up more and more evidence in my life. So faith and love. We also looked at walking to please God, right? Both groups were told to walk to please God. So I'm living out my day, day by day, thinking about God, okay? So not an idol, not the law, not the synagogue. And these are transformational truths, right? These are transformational. Because, again, you got to remember, someone born and raised in the nation of Israel, learning from a child, you know, the Old Testament scriptures, and that was it, right? And now Paul, Barnabas, Silas, Peter, they're saying, hey, yes, that is true, but it's fulfilled now. Now we live out this and this perspective and these truths. So there's gonna be some struggles there on both ends, right? On both ends. They were all raised a certain way. And then as grown adults, you know, we talk about an old dog can't learn new tricks. Well, I mean, they have to, right? When you receive Christ as your Savior, everything changes. Everything changes. Okay? So, a couple of little fun cliche sayings. Practice makes progress, right? Dave, I think you say practice makes permanent?
Yep.
Yeah, practice makes permanent. So good or bad or whatever. So now that I'm in Christ, I gotta start practicing walking to please God. So he's always on my mind. Colossians 3, set my affection on things above, not on things of the earth. Where Christ is at the right hand of God, right? Now that's the process, right? My mind's focused on pleasing God. All right, last one here. Okay, last one, number 7. Both groups are told and taught to serve one another. To serve one another. So we'll stay in Galatians, because you are probably still there right now if you haven't closed up your Bible. But if you have, we'll open it back up to Galatians, and we'll look at chapter number 5 and verse 6. We'll start there. Galatians chapter 5, verse 6. It says, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything, but faith which works through love. You were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion does not come from him who calls you. A little yeast leavens the whole batch. I have confidence in you through the Lord that you will not think otherwise, but he who is troubling you shall bear his judgment, whatever he is. Brothers, if I am still preaching circumcision, wait, I think I need to stop right there. 6, yep. Boom, boom. Okay, here, 13 is what I want, 13. So Galatians 5:13, you brothers have been called to liberty, only do not use liberty to give an opportunity to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Okay, so they have liberty, right? Only don't use that liberty to serve the flesh, which means I can, as a born-again believer, Christ in me, serve the flesh. I can choose to do that. But Paul's saying, don't do that, but by love serve one another. We also see in chapter 6, verse 2, bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. If someone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone, and not on another. So we see that we're to bear each other's burdens. Bear one another's burdens. Verse 10 in chapter 6. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Right? So both these letters are going to end on, hey, here's the problems, here's how to fix it. This is how Paul's letters usually are written. Here's what I've heard, here's the issues, here's the truth to clear this up, here's what you do with that truth. Those are like the three main things on how Paul writes his letters. Okay? Here's what's been said, here's what's true, here's what you do with it. Here's what's been said, here's what you do, here's the truth, here's what you do with it. Okay? So serve one another. We'll see it over here in Thessalonians. We'll go ahead and go over there. 1 Thessalonians. And we'll look at chapter 5. Look at verse 13. 1 Thessalonians 5:13. Esteem them very highly in the Lord, or highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brothers, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, support the weak, and be patient toward everyone, so that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always seek to do good to one another and to all. So again, two different regions, two different groups, focusing on two different issues they're going through. But we see at the end of it all, hey, keep your hearts serving and loving one another. So out of those seven truths we went over, what are your thoughts on those seven truths? Anything at all? Anything?
I think it's easy for us to be here and not realize how life-changing these things were for them.
Right.
You know, they'd been part of the same synagogue, the same town, the same group of friends, and all of a sudden now they're getting, you know, the basics of a different way to live because of Jesus Christ.
Right.
And it's totally different than what they've done. And they're losing friends, can't go into the synagogue anymore. I mean, accepting Jesus was a big deal. It still is in a lot of countries. We don't notice it that much here, but in a lot of countries, you can't buy and sell if you are, you know, don't stay Muslim.
Right.
So anyway.
Yeah, excellent. Good perspective. Anybody else?
Hey, Jesse.
Yep.
Are these like building blocks? Like, could they be doing the serving each other if they haven't got down like the faith and love first, or has that worked?
Yeah, they're kind of building blocks. I put them in this order myself, but not. It's not always in that order in the epistles. They were released differently. What was your question again?
Well, could you achieve this without first doing this? You know, like, could you achieve the serving each other first if you hadn't already got down the faith, working yourself out in love and such?
It looks like in the letters, from my perspective, and I'm up for hear your guys' thoughts too, they're to do all these things simultaneously. So I laid them out in steps, but it looks like these things are being said to do all at the same time. Yeah. Any other thoughts? All right, Barry, will you pray for us?
Lord, thank you for this day. we're celebrating the birth of Jesus. Help us to remember that. Help us to be faithful and always walk in the life. We know it's a process. We know it's not easy, but help us to walk in your light anyway. We say these things in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.